Have your Bibles with you this morning. I'd like for you to turn with me to the 57th Psalm, to the 57th chapter of the book of Psalms. So good to have you with us. The children. Thank you. We're going to dismiss our children at that time. The young lady with the pink shirt on back there. Love you, Josh. But I want to reiterate something that Pastor Ron touched on a moment ago, and that is that we're so proud of our young man, Ethan. So proud that way it worked out in your games. And also, we actually had three young men play in the World Series this past week. And Jace Markham and Adam Parzik and Ethan. And we just are so very proud of you guys. We're going to do something for you later on, probably buy you a hot dog or something, I don't know. But we do appreciate you, and we just ask God's blessing on you. Remember, you are leaders. People follow leaders. And you guys are leaders. So that puts an added responsibility on you, okay? Not going to preach just to you. Preach to the whole crowd this morning. Also want to make mention that Jasmine Armstrong. Is Jasmine here this morning? I didn't see her. I was looking for Dr. Armstrong. She got her PhD yesterday. So let's give the Lord a hand for that. Praise the Lord. Okay. The 57th Psalm begins with, "Be merciful to me, O God." First verse of the 57th Psalm, page 502, if you're having a problem finding it. "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you." Be merciful. My soul trusts in you. "And in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send me heaven and he shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth." Here's a man, David by name, king by calling. Here's a man that is running from Saul, who was the present king of Israel. And he's running for something very important. He's running for his life. And he winds up in a place called Adullam. And there's this cave there, and we refer to it as the Cave of Adullam. And he winds up in this cave, and in this cave, he decides to write a song. And so this is one of two psalms, the 57th Psalm and the 142nd Psalm, are both psalms that David wrote himself, and he wrote them while he was being chased and wound up in a cave. Each time that he wrote these songs, he was being chased and he was in a cave. He was in a very dark place in his life. How many of you know that we all have these dark places that we get in? And now, what's dark to you may be twilight to someone else. Are y'all there with me? So we can't judge what dark places are. All we know is that when we get in them, there's only one person we can really depend on. Amen. To pull us out, and that's God Almighty. Amen. That's God Almighty. He's the only one that can. And David had a thorough understanding of what God could and what God would do. And so he begins to see. David was running from Saul, and he came to Adullam, and he hid in this cave. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Samuel in the 22nd chapter, the Bible tells us this narrative. It gives us this narrative of what's going on when he wrote this song. You can go to it. You'll enjoy it. It's a great story. The Bible tells us that he's hiding in this cave. And so when his father's house, when his brothers and all the people of his father's house heard where he was and what was going on, they all came to him to give him aid. And the Bible says something very unusual about these people. The Bible says that every one of them were dismayed, they were discontent, and they were in debt. And the Bible says, and so they came to him. I like to refer to this as David's army of misfits. Everybody there was in debt. Everybody there was discontented and about something in life. And I begin to think about it. You know, I believe God still works with armies of misfits. Yeah. Every church is an army. Every church is an army. God has sent us out to the battlefield. You know, we may not realize it, but every day we approach the battlefield. It's a spiritual battlefield, and we must approach it, and we have to approach it in a way that we realize that we've got to win this battle. We've got to win. So we're all a part of God's army. We used to sing this little song coming up in nursery school about all of us are part of God's army and this, that, and the other. But listen to me. Don't you realize that we're all kind of like misfits? You know, I can look around and see some of you guys that I know very well, some I don't know very well, but you're the only person like you in the whole wide world. Amen. I mean, there's never been anyone like you. Might have been someone close, but there's never been anyone just like you. We're all different in our own respects, in our own ways. And so God had this army of misfits, and he brought them together, and he sent them down to David. And when they got there, David became their captain. How many of you know every army needs a captain? If the army don't have a captain, they're not going to have direction. Every army needs a captain. And so you and I have a captain. His name's Captain Jesus. You can get a hold of him any time of the day, day or night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You can always depend on Jesus. He'll always be there. He's everywhere present. He's nowhere absent. He's God Almighty, and all you have to do is call upon him, and he will quickly answer you. And don't worry, he's not far off. He's always within a hand's reach. You can always reach out and touch God. You can reach out and touch the Lord. And he is our captain, and he is the one that David depended on. So David is held up in this cave, and all of these people come to help him, and he begins to look at the people to see what he had. How many of you know that until you know what you got to work with, you won't do very much? Amen. You've got to know what you're working with. So David surveyed the army, and he recognized that he didn't have what most people would call an army. But he took that army and went out, and he defeated the Midianites within 3 weeks. See, when God's on your side, it doesn't matter what you're up against. Doesn't matter what's coming against you or what you got to do. God will take you through it. God will bring you through it every time. And so here's David. He takes this army of men, and he goes out, and he begins to show the greatness of God. See, when God sent that army, we got to look at it and say, God doesn't choose people the way you and I do. Yeah, are you with me? In other words, when God chooses someone, he doesn't see the same things that you and I see. How many of you ever stopped to think about Gideon? See, according to the world, Gideon is hiding behind this wine press, and he made a threshing floor out of the wine press, and he's hiding behind this wine press like a coward. And God says, you're a mighty man of valor. You're a mighty warrior. You're a great soldier. Everybody else saw a coward, but God saw a great soldier. See, God doesn't see what you and I see. God sees what's inside of a person. You know what I believe? I believe we need to awaken that what is on the inside of us. Listen, we've let the world beat us down. We've let people beat us down. We've let things beat us down. We've let our past beat us down. We've let things beat us down until we need to rise up like a mighty army. And instead of acting like a coward, we need to start acting like a mighty soldier. We got to start acting like what God's called us to be. That's the reason it's so important for you to recognize your calling. Once you recognize your calling, you can begin to operate in that office. But first, you've got to recognize your calling. And here is Gideon hiding, threshing wheat by in a wine press. That's not like a mighty soldier. A mighty soldier, you would think that would be out in front of the wine press saying, "This is what I'm doing. You don't like it? Come get you some." Are you with? This is what we would think, but this is not the way God, but God saw him, and God saw something on the inside of him that the world could not see. And I just believe that every one of you, I want you to just touch your neighbor and say, "There's something on the inside of me you don't recognize, you don't see. God has placed something in me that's far greater than what looks like on the outside of me." He was a mighty warrior. He was a great man of valor. He was what everyone would want to be, but on the outside he just did not look like that. How many of you remember this preacher? His name was Isaiah. Yeah. You've heard of him somewhere along the line. He's up there with T.D. Jakes and some of those guys. But Isaiah, God called him and said, "This is what I want you to speak to my people Israel. This is what I want you to say to him." And Isaiah said, "Not me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I need to clean my own mouth up." How many of you know folks need to clean their mouth up? If you don't, hang out with me on Friday night at the football games when the teams come off the field onto the sideline. There's some people needs to clean their mouth. And how many of you know I don't mind telling them? He was saying to him, he said, "Listen, I'm a man of unclean lips. I've said things that were not appealing to you, oh God. I've said things that was not a part of the character that you've placed in me. And why would you even want me to speak to your people? Listen, God said, I see something great in you. I see something so great in you that you don't even recognize it yourself. And here you are worrying about these little things, and I have great things stored up for you." You know, if you and I would quit worrying about these little things in our lives and allow God to work those great things that he's placed in front of us, you know what will happen? You and I will become great preachers and great teachers, and you and I will become great warriors, and we will do the things that God has called a great army to do. We need to carry the gospel. We need to be able to win souls. I'm telling you, I hope that when we get to heaven, there's more than just us here there. There's too much work to be done. There's too many things to be said. We got to realize God has called us because he sees something in us. We can go through this book. Time would not permit me, but we can see Moses. Moses had a speech impediment. And he couldn't talk plain. And the Bible tells us that he asked God, "Why me? I can't go. Those people won't listen to me. I can't even talk plain." He said, "All I want you to go, and I'm going to send Aaron with you. I see something in you you don't see in yourself, Moses. You are a leader. You can lead without saying a word." Wow. You can lead without giving great speeches. You can lead without saying anything at all. All I want you to do is just follow me. You listen to me and do what I tell you to do. Let Aaron do the rest. We got to recognize here that there's something in us. We may not have the outward appearance that we need, or we may not have the knowledge that we need, but we've got God, and God will use us if he's called us. And all we have to do is be obedient to him. We don't have to go and plan a great thing. All we have to do is go and be obedient to God. It's not your ability. It's your availability that God is looking for. God wants you to be available to him. And if you'll be available to him, he will make sure that you have the ability. How many of you remember Saul? Saul, who was surnamed Paul. Listen, I've said this so many times in sermons that sometimes it sounds repetitive to myself, so it must to you. But can you just imagine if Paul come to this church and applied for a pastorship? I mean, that would be hilarious. Amen. I could see our board talking to him. Tell me, how many churches have you pastored? Oh, I don't know. There have been so many of them, I can't even count them. Did everything turn out good? Well, it's according to what good is. I got run off from every church I've ever been in. And usually they put me in jail when I left. And sometimes they even beat me up. They tried to kill me one time. I had to run and escape by a basket over the city wall. And besides that, I used to kill every Christian I could find. And I just can't wait to get in the pulpit. Are you with me? But God saw something in him. God saw something in him that was far greater than he saw in himself or anyone else could see. And I believe that you and I, there's something in us. There's something in us that's far greater. And David was this same kind of man that God knew there was something greater in him than he had recognized himself. See, Saul was seeking to find David, to kill him. And David was hiding in this cave. And he commences to write a song. You know, I don't understand people like David. You know, David's a weird dude. I mean, you think about it. David don't think right. I mean, you know, he's out in the field tending to sheep. The next thing you know, he's killing a giant. God anoints him to be king over Israel. He goes from herding sheep to king over Israel. He gets in trouble and Saul's trying to kill him and he runs in this cave. It's dark. How many of you ever been in a cave? Caves are dark. Caves are damp. Caves have an odor to them because of the bats. It has a tremendous odor. Our granddaughter, one of our granddaughters, worked at the caverns in Marianna, and we would go through there to see the caverns, and it stinks in there, and it's cold, and it's damp, and at one point they turn out the lights to let you see how dark it. Caves are dark. And caves are dark, and they stink, and they're damp. And so here he is. In this cave, hiding from Saul and wringing his hands. What in the world am I? I'll never get out of this mess. What am I going to do? What's going to happen to me? I know what I can do. I think I'll just write a praise song. And right there, in the middle of the darkness, in the dampness, in the stench of that cave, David writes a praise song. Not only once, but he does it twice. He did it again in the 142nd Psalm. Twice he wrote praise songs. Listen, that's not the best environment to write a praise song. But God's still God, regardless of what your environment is. That's one thing that David recognized, that God was God. He's God in the good times, and he's God in the bad times, and he's God in the glory days, and he's God when you're down and you can't get up. He's God Almighty. He's God every time, and he recognized that. And regardless of what his position was, where he was, or what he was involved in, he could always raise a praise up to God. No wonder God said he's a man after my own heart. Yeah. Wow, listen to this. Yeah. Can you just imagine having a love for God that regardless of the circumstances you were in, you could always muster up a praise?
Yeah.
I mean, how many of you have been in real bad circumstances? I have. We all have. Amen. Come on, raise your hand. Amen. Shake your head. Fall out. Whatever. When you recognize that you're in a bad place and you can still raise a praise up, that tells what's really on the inside of you. And that's what God saw in David. See, that shows God what's really in you. That shows God that you've got something on the inside. David had a love for God that the circumstances and the situations of the world could not destroy. God knew David would be there. God knew that he loved him enough that when a man can walk and run into a cave to hide from somebody killing him and sit down and write a wonderful praise song and tell how great you are and my soul trusts in you, there's a man that loves God. And God recognized this, and he said, you know, I know who you are. Look at me, church. You got to realize God put what is in you. He's the one that put it there, and all you have to do is let it come out when God calls for it. And there'll be a praise. There'll be a worship like you've never seen before. Let me tell you, praise and worship will get you out of more messes than you can possibly get yourself in. I'm telling you, it's all about the praise. It's about the worship. That's what builds your faith. That's what builds it up, that says, I don't care what I'm going through, God is going to take care of me. God's going to see me through this thing, and I know that he is. It's going to be okay. God's going to take care of me. So he's seeking David to kill him, and David's hiding in this cave. Now watch this. God is waiting for the church to get to a place that he's bigger than every problem, every circumstance, and every situation that you have, you have had, or you will have. He wants you to trust him that much. He's looking for people that can see him instead of their problem. Oh, it got quiet on me. It got quiet on me. I touched somebody's nerve right there. Listen, God's looking for somebody that thinks he's bigger than your problem. God's looking for somebody that even in the midst of trial and tribulation can raise up a praise, can send up a worship, can declare he's still God, and know that nothing by any means shall overcome, because he is God and he always will be God, and there's nothing as great as he is, and he's going to always be there. Believe it or not, God is still God regardless of your circumstances. See, when we're in a cave, I'm going to call it a cave of life. You know, there's some people, and if you're one of those this morning that you're fortunate enough that you've never been in a cave, one of life's caves, and you're over 3 weeks old. If you've never been in one of those dark places, don't get too comfortable. There's one waiting on you. And you will get there. It's just a matter of time. So when you do get there, you need to be able to get out of it. You need to be able to walk out of it and know that everything's going to be okay. See, you're going to have to walk by faith. See, faith is not one of those things that you finally get to or that you grow into. Faith is not one of those things that you learn enough about it that you can operate more in it. That's not faith. Faith is the place where you live. You may not recognize it, but you live out your faith every day. Amen. Every day you live out the faith that you have in your life. You live it out. You live it out by your life. Listen, watch this. Paul said in Romans 12:3, that God has given to every man a measure of faith. See, you don't get it. You don't grow into it. You don't learn it. It's given to you. See, God give every person a measure of faith. John, God give you a measure of faith. God give you a measure. God give you a measure of faith. You have a measure of faith. Why did God give us a measure of faith? I've heard all kinds of stuff. I've heard that God gives us a measure, just enough of faith to get saved. I've heard all kinds. Why did God give us a measure of faith? Well, Hebrews 11:6 gives us the answer. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God gave you faith so you could please him. God gave you faith. How many of you know? How many of you know that this thing is not about you? I mean, you can make everything in the world about you, but you can't make this gospel It's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Are you there? And we got to have that measure of faith so we can please Him. Every time we come, someone comes to the Lord, it pleases God. Are you with me? That's a measure of faith. So did He give you enough faith? Yeah, but He also gave you enough that every time someone declares that He's God in the midst of a circumstance or a situation, then that pleases God. When I can't depend on anyone else and I lift my voice and I praise God and I give Him the glory for those things I can't see, that pleases God because He sees my heart. He knows exactly. And we've all been in situations and circumstances that we've been unable to see our way out. But we know that God is our front guard and our rear guard, and He encamps about us, and He's going to take us through this thing, and we're going to overcome it because it pleases Him. God loves to bring you through stuff. It pleases Him. It pleases Him. See, God gave you a measure of faith so you could please Him. So, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe He is. Say that one more time. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that He is. He is. He is. Look at somebody and say, He is. Those that come to Him must believe that He is. He is. Who should I say, Moses asked, who should I say when they ask me who sent me? I am. I am. I am. He is. God saying I am, we say He is.
Yes. That's
right. God saying it's me. I am. I am. I'm everything you need. I'm everything you need when you need it. I'm everything. You may be going through dark place. You may be living in a cave. You may have some troubles in your life. You may have some circumstances that you can do absolutely nothing about. But one thing you can do this morning is please God. You can please God if you will just operate in a spirit of faith. He said that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So, He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. He's not your provider. He's your provision. He's a rewarder. God is your rewarder. So, what does this mean? When we look at this passage of Scripture, what does this mean that we must believe that God is? What does it mean that He is a rewarder? Listen, church, hear me. We must believe. We must believe this morning that God is active in our lives. I got to get this over to you, and then I don't care if I quit after this, but listen to me. You got to believe God's active in your life. How many of you know? Listen, I've been to churches, and I'm wondering, okay, great music, great this, but where's God? I want to see the activity of God. Are you with me? When I go to my prayer life and I begin to pray, I want to see the activity of God operating through me. Listen, how many of you ever begin to pray and then God remind you of some of the things He's done in the past? He said, I've been active in your life and you don't even know it. I'm telling you, we've got to recognize that God has got to be active in our lives. And when I say active in our lives, I'm not just talking about those great big spiritual decisions that all of you make. Thank you. I'm talking about those little things. God's active in your life. God wants to be a part of your life, and God doesn't want to just be a part of your life on Sunday morning for 1 hour, hour and a half. He doesn't want to be a part of your life just for that. You know why? Because then He'll be like you. He'd be treating you just the way you treat him. Am I preaching yet? Yeah. I'm not getting many amens, but that's okay. That's all right. That's okay. But because I'm almost through anyway, and so I want you to see something here that we don't talk about a lot, and that is allowing God to be active in our everyday life. Oh my goodness alive, we've got to learn how to relinquish the authority to God. We've got to learn how to talk to God about everyday things and forget the old English. Forget the these and the thous and all that stuff and get your tongue tied up and go to speaking in tongues. Listen, what you got to recognize is we must get to that place that we can talk to God about everyday little things. Listen, my youngin's crazy. God, I need your help. They've gone bonkers on me. My oldest son has a drinking problem. I mean, we got to talk to God. Listen, I know it's kind of humorous when you think about it, but I need to talk to God. I want him a part of my everyday activity. I want him to be able to talk to me, and I start to make a foolish decision. He can touch me and say, don't do that. That's going to cost you. Keep your hands to yourself. Oh, come on, I'm talking to you. We got to let him be active in our lives. And if we're not active, if he's not active in our lives, we won't hear him. He won't be able to speak to him. And we won't be able to hear what he's saying to us. And we will be leading ourselves instead of following after God. We must learn that God has to be active in our lives. If we don't allow him to be active in our lives, then he's absent. He's absent in our lives. I just feel like that God wants me to impress on your heart this morning that you've got to allow him to be who he is. Now, we kind of went over a little bit about what faith is and how we can operate in faith. But I wanted to talk to you this morning about transforming faith. Won't have but a minute, but I want to just touch on it for you. Transforming faith. Now, transforming faith is faith that transforms. Causes things to be different. We got all kind of scripture we use, but we never let it be active in our lives. We never act and we never live by it. We know it in our minds, but we don't act it out in our hearts. It's faith that transforms. It transforms circumstances. It transforms situations. It transforms lives. The greatest miracle we'll ever see is the transformation of a life. And that's by faith. That's by faith. How many of you know you're saved by grace? What? Through. Amen. I mean, through what? Not what through. Through what? through faith. We're saved by grace through faith. It's faith. It's a matter of fact. Faith will transform you. It will transform your life grave, your dark places in life, your life cave, into a place of light. Let me tell you what I've learned about faith in God. If you will listen to this, it'll help you. I've learned in 45 years of ministry that if I trust Him, and I believe in His Word, and I listen to Him, He will either make my dark places light, or He'll move me out of the dark place. And he'll say to me, Charlie, what? If you're going to walk by sight, then I'm going to give you a little light. Amen. How many of you know God knows what you're going to do? Yes. And we do want to walk by faith and not by sight. Yes. But sometimes you're going to do it. You can't help yourself. You're going to have to walk by sight. We all do it, and God knows we do it. So he said, if you're going to walk by sight, I'm going to have to give you a little light. You're the lamp about my... Come on, come on. Faith will transform your cave into a place of light. Listen, the problem that you and I have is when we stay in the cave or stay in these dark places and try to walk by sight. That's when we have a problem. When we try to walk by sight, not by faith. Look, you can't see very much in a dark cave. So you're going to have to walk by faith. You can't walk by life. Now listen, we have those life caves, those dark places that we get ourselves to. And every time, and I've done this, so if you've done it, you're only normal. That is, if you think I'm normal. But when you get into these places, these dark places of life, and you don't know how you're going to get out, and you don't know what to do. And the first thing you think of is, man, this is a bad situation. Anybody ever said that? Oh my God. Lord, I don't even know how I got here. This is bad. This is really bad. I'm in a dark place, God. This is bad. I got to have some help. Give me some light. No, you don't need light. Because if I give you light, you're going to walk by sight. I need for you to walk by faith this time. You understand about talking to God? I need you to walk by faith this time. You walk by sight so much. Now I want you to just kind of walk by faith with me. I'm not going to give you. What's this, church? See, a lot of times God doesn't give you light because it forces you to walk by faith. It forces you to. You don't have a choice. You don't know how you're going to get out of this mess. You don't even know how you got in the mess. You know what might have caused it, but you don't know how you got in it. You're there. But you know what? God has the way out. God has a way out. You know what God says? God says, I just want you to walk by faith. I don't want you to do anything. I love the story of just stand still. God told me, just stand still and see me work for you. Hardest thing in the world is do nothing for some people. Some people love to do nothing because they never do anything. But it's walking by faith. And so when we try to walk by sight and we're in a dark place, we're going to stumble and fall over everything that is there. And when God doesn't give us light to walk by, it forces you and I to walk by faith. Amen. Yay! Just about over. Amen. It forces you and I to walk by faith. Listen, we all go through these things. Susan and I was going through a crisis a couple of weeks ago. And so we're praying. We're seeking the face of God. And we're praying and we're believing and we're doing all those things that we know we're supposed to do. And so when we pray, talking to the Lord, we talk to one another too. And she said to me, all I'm hearing from God is, I've got this. Yes. Remember that? Yes. I said, all God's saying to me is, I've got this. Yes. That resonated in my spirit. And I remember from then on when I began to pray, I said, God, I know you got this. But me and my foolish self is. Y'all ain't never done that, have you? God, I know you've got this. I believe, but help me with my unbelief. I believe, but there's a part of me that's still in the cave, hunting the flashlight. Listen to me. God's got this. When the whole thing began to unwind and unravel, guess what? God had it. God worked it out. Touch your neighbor and say, God's got this. I don't know what you're going through, but God's got this. God's got this. He's already. Let me tell you something. As we close, I want you to all stand with me, and we're going to be in one accord here for just a moment. Everybody in the Honda, please. We're at that place to where we've done everything we can do.
Yeah.
We've said everything we can say.
Yeah.
And now's the time to let God have it. God's got this. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not measuring your problems. I'm measuring God this morning. I don't care how big your problem is. I just need to be concerned about how big God is. Y'all have heard the old story about the two guys being chased by the bear. Yeah. Oh, I don't need to outrun that bear. All I need to do is outrun you.
Amen.
I don't care about how big your problems are. I'm concerned about how big is God in your life. God says for me to tell you, I've got this. Don't worry about it no more. I've got it. I want you to exercise your faith. I want you to exercise your transforming faith. It may not come quickly, but yet it will come, says God. It may not come when you want it, but it will come, says God. You may have to go through, and you will go through some more stuff before it comes to an end. But God said, I've got this. Because I'm not only working with you, I'm working with your adversary. I'm working with the other side of the equation. Y'all with me here this morning? I'm working with the other side too, and I got to get both sides right. Because everything with me has got to be right. I wish I had something up here to just kick. Listen, God is saying to us, I've got this. Let him have it.